Do grab a seat. And if you want to grab a Bible or a device or any other way of finding the Bible, and open up that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, it might help you. I'll say this is a really important day for us as a church. I'm thrilled that we've been able to commission and welcome Ben. And it is the first Sunday since March 2020 when we will be able to have two gatherings together to spend time in God's Word and encourage each other. And we've done a bit of reflecting into how to make that a little bit different, the second meeting, so that it can be as useful as possible. And my hope as we start this new academic year is that it will help us to regain a sense of purpose and focus as a church. Let's be honest, the last 18 months have been hard. Pretty much for every organization in the world except Zoom. You know, Zoom is probably the only organization that has benefited from the last 18 months. For everybody else, it's been hard. And I'm just hugely grateful, actually, to those who've worked so hard to keep us going over the last 18 months. Everybody being patient with different restrictions, the tech team who at various points were essential to just keep us meeting, youth teams that have adjusted to changes seemingly week by week. I'm so thankful that the Lord has kept us going. But for church, you need a higher goal than simply survival. Survival isn't really an adequate goal for the church. And that's what we see in Ephesians. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we get a gloriously high picture of the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul describes the church as God's household, God's family, if you like. Brothers and sisters together with God the Father adopting us to be part of his family. Ephesians chapter 2, again, the church is described as God's temple, the dwelling place of his Spirit. You know, it's not just that we're here this morning. God is here. He's here amongst us by his Spirit. Or in Ephesians 3, the church is described as the way in which the manifold wisdom of God is made known. You know, as people, indeed the sort of heavenly rulers, as they look at the church and they see people from different nationalities and different backgrounds all united together, they say, gosh, God is wise. The church has a role in displaying the wisdom of God. And in Ephesians 5, and that's going to be our focus actually after lunch, in Ephesians 5, we see the church as Jesus' bride, the one he's willing to give his life for. If you like, the church is huge in God's purposes. It's no small thing to be part of the church. And yet what you also see in Ephesians is the sense that the church should not be static. The church should grow and develop. You saw it in some of the language that Sally read. Ephesians 4, verse 12 talks about the church being built up. Or verse 13, the church developing to maturity. Again, the call in verse 16 is that the whole body grows and builds itself up. You know, it's probably the image, actually, almost of the church as a child sort of growing up into maturity. And so you get these two things in Ephesians. You see this importance of the church, and you see the growth of the church as something that's expected. I don't know about you, that's what I long for in the year ahead, is that we would do more than just about keep going. But there would be that sense of thriving and growing. That'd be lovely to grow numerically. Actually, Acts talks about the church growing numerically as a good thing. It'd be lovely to see that. In a sense, that's in the Lord's hands. That's not something we can accomplish. But in Ephesians 4, the emphasis is on growth spiritually. Have a look at some of the language in verse 13. Growing up to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Or verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. And you get this image of Jesus as the head of the church and us as his body. And the goal, I guess, is for the head and the body not to look ridiculously incongruous. You know, for there to be a sense of, well, the head and the body kind of match. We grow up to be more like the heads. Or in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul talks about the Christian having every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Jesus, we have everything. But let's be honest, we don't always quite live as though we have everything. And in a sense, the longing is that we grow to be more like those who have everything. You know, to reflect in the way in which we conduct ourselves, in our attitudes, that sense that, well, we have everything in Christ. And so there is space for growth and development. And so the question for us this morning is this: how does that happen? If the church has got a vital part in God's purposes, and if the church is called to grow, how does that actually take place? How are we going to grow in the year ahead? Well, I want to answer that really just looking at verses 11 to 13. So that's our focus for this morning. Just verses 11 to 13, because there we see this pathway to growth. And here's the first thing. Jesus gives pastor teachers to the church. Jesus gives pastor teachers to the church. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now, verses 7 to 10, what you get is this picture of the ascended Jesus. You know, Jesus who descended from the glory of heaven down to earth, now is ascended on high. And from that position, he gives gifts to the church, gifts to his people, in order that the church might be built up. And we see the list of those gifts in verse 11 on the screen: apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now, the idea of gifts is quite common in the New Testament. And elsewhere, Paul has quite a full list, if you like, of all the different gifts that can be used within the church. And believe me, I am massively grateful that that's the case as I look around. You know, so many gifts and abilities that the Lord has given us. Let's be honest, the church wouldn't have kept going if God had made us all preachers over the last 18 months. I mean, can you imagine it, preaching, but no way of actually communicating to anybody? Yeah, I'm so thankful for the range of gifts that the Lord has given. But in verse 11, there is actually quite a specific list. In other words, Ephesians 4, verse 11 isn't about God giving the range of gifts to the church. They're all quite specific, actually. They're all to do with people who communicate God's word to the church. Now, it might be that some of this list are particular gifts for the beginning of the church. So the apostles, often in the New Testament, apostles is used in different ways, but primarily it's used of those who see the risen Lord Jesus and are commissioned with a particular authority. And Ephesians 2, actually, Paul talks about the apostles and prophets being foundational for the church. So maybe that they're specifically for this initial period. But then we also see evangelists, those who have a God-given ability to communicate the gospel to those who don't know the Lord Jesus. And you have this group, pastors and teachers. Actually, the way the original works, they're actually one group. So it's not some pastors and some teachers. It's probably one group, the pastor, teachers. In other words, Jesus will give to the church those who have a responsibility to shepherd, to pastor the flock, which will involve caring and leading and protecting from all that would lead people astray, protecting from spiritual danger. Of course, one of the ways in which you care and you lead and you protect from danger is actually by teaching the Word of God. You know, teaching the Word of God that can bring us comfort in the midst of our sorrows. Teaching the Word of God that directs us in the path we should go. teaching the word of God that will warn us of spiritual dangers that we don't want to fall into. And so the teaching of God's word by a pastor is always with that aim of shepherding the church. You know, teaching the word is never simply a display of education or eloquence. I hope that actually when I teach God's word, it's because I want us as sheep of the Lord Jesus to be moving forward, to be cared for, to be protected. And so as Jesus wants the church to grow, he gives pastors and teachers to the church. Now, to be honest, this is a really difficult passage for a pastor to preach. You know, he thinks he's God's gift to the church. It's never normally a compliment. But more seriously, there is a kind of point here. That actually, as Jesus envisages the church, it's not a kind of completely flat, well, let's all think for ourselves what we should do. Or let's try and teach ourselves God's way. There's part of that, actually. We'll see in a minute. But actually, the role of those who are given to the church to shepherd the flock, to lead the flock, to teach the word of God, actually, Paul says in Ephesians 4, that is a vital part of the church growing and developing. Actually, this current experience that you're having of somebody seeking to do their best to teach God's word is actually a vital part of church life if the church is going to grow. Now, to be honest, I'm really grateful. I don't think I need to labor that. I don't think there can be many better places to preach, actually, to a group of people who already accept this is going to be pretty important for our growth. It's a huge, huge privilege. But I want to encourage us with this thought. It is Jesus himself who does this. Do you notice the language? Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. This isn't just something we decide for ourselves. This is something that Jesus himself does. Which brings us to the events of this morning and Ben arriving as an assistant pastor. You see, there are two ways of looking at most events, aren't there? You know, we could look at it from our angle. Yeah, we decided we should appoint an assistant pastor. We advertised. Of those who applied, the elders chose Ben. He came to preach. We voted yes. You know, that would be a historically accurate way of viewing all that happened. But actually, as you look at Ephesians 4, you realize that's not quite enough, is it? So actually, the Ephesians 4 story goes something like this. That the Lord Jesus worked in Ben's life when he was a teenager and brought him to know him. And then the Lord Jesus worked in him to give him the gifts and the desire to preach God's word and to care for God's people. And brought Francis along so that they might have a shared vision. And used different churches to grow him and mature him. All the way through, the Lord Jesus involved in that process. And actually, the Lord Jesus involved in us to think about how we should move forward as a church. And do you see? Actually, it is the Lord Jesus who directs these things. It is Christ himself who gives pastors and teachers to the church. I hope that encourages us. The church is not a historical society. That's to say, we're not sort of gathered here just to sort of remember somebody who lived 2,000 years ago, even to celebrate somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. We're not here remembering him. No, no, he's the one who's actually here and at work. The church is Jesus' building site. It's a living, vibrant thing. What we're seeing today is Jesus at work. And I hope that vaguely encourages us to be part of it. The church grows as generation by generation, Jesus raises up pastors and teachers. But Paul is also clear that in and of itself, that won't be enough to grow the church. Because secondly, the whole church serves together. The whole church serves together. You see, there's a vital stage in verse 12. Jesus gives pastors and teachers. Why? Why? Well, to equip his people, Jesus' people, for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Do you see the purpose of the pastor's work? It isn't the pastor work so that we all feel slightly nicer about life. It's a good outcome if that's the case, but it's not primarily for that. Or dare I say, it's not simply that the pastor does his work so that we know the Bible better, actually. No, the purpose, so that God's people are equipped for works of service. That the goal is actually that we serve together, that we minister to one another. You can see how this works, can't you? Yeah, somebody is going through a rough time, perhaps weary through doubts or discouragements or temptations. And actually, in that instance, the pastor, as well as the rest of the church, actually, but the pastor is there to care, perhaps to open up God's word in a way that's encouraging. With what goal? Well, actually, so that that person who's previously discouraged is back serving again, back ministering to others again. That's the purpose. Or again, the goal of teaching is not simply, I know Ephesians 4 better. Good, but it's not the goal. The goal of teaching is that we're motivated by God's word to say, gosh, isn't God good? Isn't the gospel glorious? Isn't it a privilege to be part of the church? I want to serve. Or we're equipped how to serve. So that actually perhaps when I'm in a home group, I've got more of an idea of what encouragements to pass on from God's word because I've been taught it. And so the role of the pastor teacher is to equip all of us to serve together. In other words, what's happening now is vital for the growth of the church, but it is not sufficient for the growth of the church. I mean, can you imagine if actually the church was simply this, you know, this half hour of me speaking to you? Can you imagine if that was the sum total of the church? Wouldn't that be awful? Of course it's not. You know, the church grows as, well, afterwards we talk to each other and we seek to encourage one another. As we gather in home groups and we pray for one another and we find out there's sort of challenges to us living for the Lord Jesus and we get alongside one another. As we make those informal calls to the person who's struggling or the person who's on their own. You know, as we see some folk who are new to the church, or maybe some folk who aren't Christians yet, and we want to get alongside them and express interest in them and show love to them. Actually, as that happens, so the church grows. And both of those ingredients are vital. Paul says, actually, the two ingredients of the church growing are Jesus giving pastors and teachers to their role, and the whole church serving together, and that's how the church is built up. In other words, this is important, but it is insufficient. Now, some of the ways we'll serve, some will be the kind of thing you land on a rota for, and much will be much more informal. The phone call, the conversation. And what's vital for us is to have that sort of mentality. Because the temptation can be to fall into a sort of customer, consumer mentality. I have various spiritual needs, and the role of the church is basically, I'm a customer. The church's role is to meet my spiritual needs. And certainly as we're looking into Christianity, that's probably understandable. But it can't be a long-term option. I think that has been one of the challenges of the last 18 months. Let's be honest, nothing is more designed to turn you into a consumer than watching church on TV. Yeah, the very act of it actually encourages this consumer mentality because, well, that's kind of what happens if you watch church on TV. And forgive me, I'm not saying it wasn't essential. But all I'm saying is the danger is that drifts into our mentality and, well, church is the place that meets my spiritual needs, whereas actually Ephesians 4 is saying church is the place where all of us serve together, where we all have our role to play. Language is interesting, isn't it? You know how language works? There's the first person, second person, third person. There's I/we, first person, second person, you, third person, he, she, it, they. Now, it's always disastrous when we get to the point where we talk about the church in the second person, you know, you lot. That's definitely unhealthy. I think for many of us, we tend to talk about church in the third person, the church. The church. Can I just, I always love it when I hear people talking about the church in the first person, we. Because that is it, isn't it? That's the sort of thing going on. We, the church. We, the people serving together. We, the people who want to grow together. That's what Paul longs for. Pastors, teachers, to equip us all to serve together so that the body might be built up. Now, I don't want to say that to induce guilt. Can I say there is loads of verse 12 happening around the place? Please believe me, I'm not preaching this because I think there's nothing of verse 12 happening around the place. There's an awful lot that goes on. And I'm also aware that doing works of service won't be limited to being within the church. So, of course, we all have different capacities at different stages of life. Of course, we serve within our families and we serve within our place of work and so on. So, can I say this isn't intended to kind of induce a sense of guilt? But rather, it is just to ask the question, is my mentality right? That's to say, am I consciously thinking one of the things God calls me to is as part of his body to serve so that we might grow together? And it seemed with Ben's appointment and us also relaunching certain aspects of life, it seemed like a good time to ask that question. Maybe it is that the application is a kind of mentality change. You know, as part of what I do as a church, I'm coming with the expectation this will grow as I play my part. It might just be that's the mentality that we need. And so as we come to church, there will be that sense of who can I talk to? Who can I listen to? Who's new? Who's struggling? I'm coming with that mentality. Yes, I want to receive from the Lord, absolutely. And I want to serve so that the church will be built up. It may just be for some of us, there's just that mentality shift. Perhaps we need to go back to, we just lost it over the last 18 months and we need to get back there. Maybe other applications. It might be for some of us, actually, we need to become a church member. Actually, church membership is often the way we begin to talk about how do you want to serve. And again, if you want to take that step, do have a word with me or David or Ben. Do have a chat with us and we can talk about church membership. For those of us who are members, one of the things that's probably going to come out in the next week or so is a kind of situations vacant. Can I be honest, there are various aspects of church life that are creaking after the last 18 months. You know, just things where we really haven't got all the people we need, in a sense, to keep various key aspects of church life going. I'm not panicked by that, it's just an inevitable consequence of the last 18 months, but there will, in the next week or so, be a kind of situations vacant. Here are gaps we've got. And forgive me, this isn't to make the person who's already doing seven things feel guilty about not taking on an eighth, but it might be where there's a sense of actually there's not really many areas of life where I'm serving in the church. Just to begin to think, okay, maybe I can do that. Maybe I should do that, actually, to play my part in the church growing. Because if the church is to grow, Jesus gives pastors and teachers. But that's for purpose, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And the result of it all, lastly, is that we will grow to unity and maturity. We'll grow to unity and maturity until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Two main goals. Partly, the church is to develop and grow in unity. Now, again, as you look in Ephesians chapter Ephesians generally, unity is both something that we have and something that we grow in. So praise God, by his Spirit, we are united. We're to keep the unity of the Spirit. We have it, in part, because the Spirit indwells us if we're Christians. We'll have it perfectly one day, completely united with each other, with no difficulties at all in the new creation. In the meantime, we're to grow in it. Now, it does seem to me that that is something we know a fair measure of as a church. I'm grateful that we are united in our knowledge of the Son of God in the Lord Jesus. It's probably also something we can grow in. Yeah, there will be those who feel on the edge of church rather than integrated into it. There are those who perhaps we don't include well. We want to grow in unity. We want to grow in serving one another, of being a united community together. There are ways in which we can grow in that. And again, that's partly motivating us to say it's actually as we serve one another, as we talk to one another, as we try and contribute to each other's good, that's how we'll grow in those things. And we'll grow in maturity. We become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's that lovely image, isn't it? We've got everything in Jesus. And we grow into that. We grow into our experience of that and our knowledge of that, so that we're not tossed around, so we're not constantly going up and down, as it were, but there's a steadfast maturity attaining to the full measure of Christ. And again, we can grow in that. We know part of it. But I guess if we were to say somebody coming in and saying, wow, they obviously have the full measure of Christ, we're probably not quite there. That's true of every church. But it means there's growth possible, ways we can develop. And so friends, you know, as I think about our life together as a church, there is so much that I'm thankful for, a huge amount that I'm thankful for. But I also know there are ways we can grow, ways we can develop. It's not a criticism, it's just the reality of the New Testament, actually. All churches will always, at some point, there'll be areas to grow. And so my longing, actually, is that the next year would be a year of growth. How will it happen? Well, verse 16, from him, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Jesus is the one who gives the growth. From him, he's our head. All the life, all the energy comes from him. He's the one giving gifts to the church. But then growth happens as each part does its work. As we say, how can I serve? How can I minister to others? That's the mentality we need. That's what, actually, in Ephesians 5 will help us ultimately to be lights to the world so that those around will begin to see. It is a huge privilege to be part of the church. Family of God, temple of God, a group that displays God's wisdom to the world. Wouldn't it be great if the year ahead really is a year of growth for us as a church? There is the opportunity, not frankly because we're brilliant, but because he's at work. And we get to cooperate with his great plan. Let's pray together. Just a moment of quiet. It might just be that the Lord's put his finger on one or two things. Maybe you've forgotten seeing church as just a privilege to be part of. Might be that actually, if you're honest, that consumer mentality rather than service mentality might just be where your mind's drifted over the last 18 months. Just a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray. So, Lord, we thank you so much that we're no simple institution or organization. We are the place, Lord Jesus, where you're at work. You're our head. We're joined to you. And so, Lord, from that place, we pray that you would help us to grow in unity and grow in maturity. Lord, please help us to play our part in that. Lord, it will be different parts for each one of us, but Lord, as we have opportunity, help us to be those committed to the good and the encouragement of others, to serve practically where we have those abilities, until that day when we reach perfect unity and perfect maturity as we see you. Lord, we simply pray, may this be a good year for us as a church. May we grow in the deepest ways, we pray. For your name's sake, amen.